Rav Nosson Zal was Niskariv to Rabbeinu Zal in the year Tov Kuf Samach Gimel, when Rabbeinu Zal was about 30 years old, and Rav Nosson Zal came to him a little bit before Rosh Hashanah, and shortly after Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos Shuvah, Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir. Usually we don't interject any personal notes on these shirim, but in this case I think it's worth mentioning that I had the zechus about 15 years ago to meet a student of Breslov, at the time a student of my Rebbe Zichron Avracha, who lived in the neighborhood that I lived in at the time, and he was attending the shirim given by our Rebbe Zichron Avracha, and then at one point in time he offered to learn Likutei Moran with me. And we did it on Shabbos mornings after shul. The custom in the shul was that they had a kiddush after davening, and we would go during the time the kiddush would extend for about 15 minutes. We would finish our part of the kiddush in about 3 and make an alamichya and go to a different section in the shul and learn there for about a half hour, about 15 minutes longer than the time that the other people ended up staying in shul. And at the time we began to learn the Sefer, I remember it was very interesting, and it was much different than any other Sefer I had learned at the time. Not that I was necessarily a big bookie in Sforim, but it was still something that seemed to be pretty exceptional. However, it was after learning this chapter specifically that we're about to start, Torah Vov, that I remember at that age, being about 17 years old, and coming to the conclusion that I can't imagine that there exists a Sefer on earth or a tzaddik on earth that was able to reveal a level of depth in wisdom as what I saw revealed in this chapter. To be able to discuss such extraordinarily deep subjects, as I mentioned here, and to be able to bring it down to a level where a child could understand it and have clear practical application of items that are discussed in the Kisvei Arizal, in the writings of the Arizal, that seem to be pure Kabbalah and seem to have no natural practical application, and yet here it seemed to be just unbelievable how clear this item was presented in a very practical, applicable way. Now this Torah is going to take, I'd say, about 4 sessions to learn a Mitzvah. And we're going to be covering about 6 or 7 major subjects in the Torah. I'd say about half of them are easy-ish to understand. Half of them are difficult. If you pay attention and concentrate and review before coming into the next shir, if you review, there's no question in the world that you should be able to understand it and benefit from it in a very big way. One of the items especially that Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss here is the subject of tshuva, but in a way that you never heard it before, unquestionably. A level of depth and a perception that Rabbeinu Zal had in explaining the mitzvah of tshuva and how it applies not just to what we call a Baal tshuva, but how it applies to the biggest tzaddikim, and how there isn't a Jew in the world that's not included within the framework of tshuva. This is some of what's going to be presented here. I could only suggest that we stay awake and take it very seriously. We'll be able to benefit in a big way from it. Rabbeinu Zal bases this chapter on a momentous occasion in the history of Klal Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu was being informed by Hashem that he was about to pass away. He was about to leave the world. And Hashem was giving Moshe Rabbeinu instructions to bring forth his student Yehoshua and to prepare him to take over the mantle of leadership of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kro es Yehoshua, call out to your student Yehoshua and bring him into your tent and there be prepared to give over to him the leadership of Klal Yisrael. We're going to come back to this pasuk much later on in the Torah and to show how the concept of the rabbi and the student and the tent relate to the whole subject that we're going to speak about. Rabbein Ezal begins, Ki tzorich kol odom lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy ulaharbois b'chvoid hamokoyim. Every single person, bar none, note, there are certain instructions that are given to tzaddikim, certain instructions that are given to people who want to be exceptional. Rabbein Ezal is very particular about the words that he uses. And here Rabbein Ezal says, Ki tzorich kol odom lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy ulaharbois b'chvoid hamokoyim. Every single Jew is required to see to it, to lessen their own kavod, and to increase the kavod of Hashem. If we stop here for a moment, because of the importance, the Meforshim point out that it's not coincidental that these two points are made in one sentence, because the fact is that these two items are on two ends of a seesaw. One without the other generally will not work. If a person wants to increase the kavod of Hashem, to really elevate Hashem's honor, to really give respect to Hashem, which we know is pretty much the basis for the creation of this world. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos at the end, where the Mishnah says, why did Hashem create the world? The Mishnah says, we'll give you a one-word answer, lichvoidoi. Kol ma shebora kodesh baruch hu ba'olamoi, lebora elo lichvoidoi. Everything conceivable that Hashem put into the creation, He put it there for one reason, for His honor, for His respect. As the Pasuk says, lichvoidi berosiv yitzartiv afasisiv. Bria, yitziro, asiyo, these are terms that span every aspect of creation. Not just every aspect of creation, but according to Kabbalah, this refers to all the different worlds, the different types of worlds that exist. All of this is one word. People would want to give 14,000-hour lectures to explain the purpose of creation. The Mishnah makes it very simple. One-word answer. Lichvoidi, for my kavod. That's it. Rabbein Ezal says here, you should know that if you are interested in taking that serious, if you as a Jew want to be sure that you've fulfilled your purpose within the Bria, you have to be prepared lema'it b'chvoid atzmecha, to be willing to go through certain degree of disgrace in order to honor Hashem. On the simplest, most basic level, in order for a person to be a Jew in this world, involves embarrassment. Why is it embarrassing? Because you're part of the tiniest minority that exists. Compared to the numbers of people that are found in every other nation in the world, in every other country in the world, Eretz Yisrael, Lahavdol, or Am Yisrael is nothing. It's zero. It's embarrassing to be so small, so tiny. And the different ways that the Goyim use to describe us, the caricatures, the cartoons that they make about Jews, and all the fun that they make about Jews, that's part of what's needed for the kavod of Hashem. If you want to be part of this nation that's most instrumental in elevating the kavod of Hashem, you have to be prepared for bizyonos. That's on a general level. And naturally, much more specifically, within Klal Yisrael itself, there are different degrees of people showing respect for Hashem. There are different groups of people. There's the Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, and there's Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoim. According to how high a degree of kavod a person wants to give to Hashem, it's determined by to what degree the person is willing to forego their own personal kavod. Rabbein Ezal, now he's going to elaborate. Rabbein Ezal says, "Ki mi sheroidef achar hakavod," because a person whose nature it is to pursue kavod, a person who's interested in respect, in gaining respect and honor from others, and he actively pursues it, einoy zoche lekavod elokim. That person, even if they do receive kavod, their kavod is not to be compared at all to the kavod of Hashem. Rabbein Ezal is starting to give us labels now. There's kavod, there isn't one type of kavod, there's two basic types of kavod. There's kavod elikim, and Rabbein Ezal says clearly here, if you want to be zeichet to a heavenly respect, if you seek kavod, you will never attain kvod elikim. Elo, at best, What will you be zeichet to? Even though the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that if a person is roidev, if a person is boireach, achar hakovoid, hakovoid boirachas mimenu, that a person who chases after honor and respect, the honor and respect runs away from him. If it runs away, it means you don't get it. No, the answer is it depends on how fast you run. It depends on how much effort you put into it. Rabbi Nizal is telling us if you really run fast, you're going to grab something. But don't you dare make a mistake as to what you ended up with. You certainly did not end up with Kvoid Elikim. At best, you ended up with Kvoid Melochim, the honor of kings. Shenemar boy, about which the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kvoid Melochim Chakor Dovor, that the honor of kings is questionable. It's challengeable. V'hakoil choikren achrov, Rabbi Nizal explains, what does this mean? This means that if you'll receive some type of position, they'll make you the leader of the class, or they'll make you a boss in a factory, or some type of honorable position, everybody is going to want to investigate you. V'shoyelim, and people are going to ask, mi hu zeh v'yezeh hu, shecholken le'kovod azeh. Who is this person to deserve? Why does he deserve any respect? People are going to be constantly questioning and challenging and not ready to accept why they have to show respect to this person. V'cholken olov, and there'll be people that'll actually be cholek against him. Stand up and challenge him, challenge his authority. She'omrim, they will say, she'enoi roi l'kovod azeh, that this person doesn't deserve this respect, this authority that was given to them, that they got. But a person who runs away from respect, a person who not only doesn't he chase after it, but when it's offered to him, when people offer it him on a silver platter, he looks for every excuse in the world to refuse it. He'll try to do everything in his power to get away from having to assume any authority or having people give him any type of respect. Shememayit b'chvoid atzmoi, where the person looks to decrease their own kavod, umarbe b'chvoid hamokim, and to increase the kavod of Hashem, azai hu zeiche l'kvoid elikim. Such a person ends up receiving kavod, and what kind of kavod? The kavod of Hashem. V'oz, and when a person achieves that, ein b'nei yodom choikren al kvoidoi im huroi im lav. People do not question that type of respect. They don't investigate it. They don't question it. V'olav nemar, and about that type of respect, the Torah says, Kvoid elikim haster dovor, that the honor of Hashem is something that's kept hidden. People are afraid to speak about it. People acknowledge that they don't really understand it, and it's something that's not really to be spoken about. Ki osur lachkoir al hakovod azeh. It's forbidden for a person to investigate, to delve deeply into this kovod. Now just for a minute, if we're talking about the kovod of Hashem, it's forbidden to investigate the kovod of Hashem? That sounds ridiculous. What's the whole Torah about? The whole Torah is an investigation to understand the Rotzoin of Hashem, what Hashem wants of us. What is Rotzoin? Rotzoin is Kovoid. The Gemara says, Ritzoinoi Shelodom Zehu Kvoidoi. If I tell you I want you to get me a glass of water, when you go ahead and fulfill my request, that's a means of showing respect. You respect my authority, you respect what I'm telling you to do. The Torah is filled with a description of the Ritzoinos of Hashem, which means the Torah is filled with a description of the Kovoid of Hashem. Aren't we required to investigate and research and get to understand the Torah? The answer is there's a Pasuk in Chumash Dvorim where the Pasuk says, Hanistorois Lashem Elokeinu, Vahaniglois Lonu Ulvoneinu Adoilam. The hidden things, those items that are supposed to be kept hidden, they belong only to Hashem. V'hanigloys, those items that are supposed to be revealed, lonu ulvoneinu ad oilam. They are for us and for our children forever to reveal, to speak about, to understand, to look into. There are people that are not completely educated in Torah, and as such, they use this pasuk as a proof to show that Jews are not permitted to study Kabbalah, or Jews are not permitted to study secrets of Torah, that part of Torah that's referred to as Sisrei Torah. How do I know? It's a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk writes clearly that Hanistorois LaShem Alekenu, that the secrets, the Nistor, belongs to Hashem. It's only the Nigla that's for us and our children to delve into. One of the Meforshim on the Zohar HaKadosh explains that these people are half right and half wrong. There are two sections within the secrets of Torah. There is that aspect of secrets of Torah that's a mitzvah to study, and it's a mitzvah to get to understand and to research and to know, and the more the better. There is a certain section within the secrets of Torah that a Jew is forbidden to question or to look into. Why? That's considered so high a level that it's over our heads at this point. When Mashiach comes and the Torah tells us, Ki molo ha'oretz de'ez Hashem, that the world, people are going to be given a much greater degree of knowledge than what we have now, then we'll be zeichet to even understand that. But for now, that's forbidden to us. What are the two sections? The Meforshim and the Zohar HaKadosh explain, the Niglois refers to Chachma and Bina. Those aspects of wisdom that are represented by Chachma and Bina, that's called Nigla. That's permissible, and it's a mitzvah to research and to get to understand. The Nistor, in this case, refers to that aspect of knowledge of secrets of Torah that's represented by the Keser, by the crown of Hashem, which is above the head. The crown is that which is worn outside the head and above it. This represents those wisdoms that cannot, at the present time, be brought inside of our brain. They're so high, they're so above. And about that, the pasuk says, "B'mufla mimcha al tidroish, u'b'mechusa mimcha al tachkor." In that which is wondrous, mufla, pele, is one of the nicknames of keser, of the sphere of keser. In that which is wondrous to you, al tidroish, you're not permitted to discuss it, to darshan about it, u'b'mechusa mimcha. And in that which is supposed to be kept hidden from you, al tachkir, you're not permitted to delve into it deeply, to investigate, to attempt to understand it, because it's too deep. So therefore, when Rabbeinu Zal says that a person, through being memayit b'chvoid atzmoi, will be zeichet to the kvoid elikim, will be zeichet to the kvoid of Hashem, about which the pasuk says, kvoid elikim haster dovor, it means that this person will be zeichet to the type of kvoid elikim that's called keser, that corresponds to the highest level of kavod of Hashem, the kavod that corresponds to the crown of Hashem, that degree of kavod, about which it's we can't speak about it at all. Nobody, people know that that's off limits, not something we can discuss and even attempt to understand. It would be disrespectful for us to think that we could possibly understand that. Now, which individual in Klal Yisrael represents the greatest degree of kovoid? When we talk about respect, honor, we know that the Torah discusses several levels of kovoid. There's kibud avayim, there's an obligation on the part of a Jew to show respect for parents. It's one of the Ten Commandments. There's kovoid rabbi, there's respect for a rabbi, where the Gemara says that that's considered comparable to the respect for Hashem. The pasuk says, "Es Hashem alekecha tira," that a Jew is required to fear and respect Hashem. And Rabbi Akiva says, "Es l'rabo is talmidei chachamim," that the word "es" there, which is sort of extra, comes to include talmidei chachamim, that they're included in one category with Hashem Himself in terms of respect. And then they're still higher than that, which is the kovoid of the king, the melech. How do we know that the kovoid of the king is higher than that of parents or a rabbi? It's a halacha. The Gemara says, av shemochal al kvoidoi, that if a father or mother, if a child shows disrespect to a parent, and the parent decides to forgive the child, the parent has an option to forgive or not to forgive. If a parent decides to forgive a child, he can do it. That kovod is possible to forgive for its disgrace. The kovod of a rabbi, again, Rav Shemochel al Kvoidoi, Kvoidoi Mochel, that kovod can be forgiven. Melech Shemochel al Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoidoi Mochel, a king who foregoes his honor, his respect, he's not permitted to do it. Where's a classic example of this? Shaul HaMelech, whom the Torah says that Hashem Kaviyochel was angry at him because of the fact that he didn't stick up for his own kavod. Hashem demands that a king have a certain degree of self-respect and that he insist on a certain degree of respect from Klal Yisrael. Which king achieved the highest degree of kavod? Dovid HaMelech. How did he achieve it? We're going to see soon there's a medrash in Parshas Nosoi or Bamidbor, where the medrash says that there wasn't a single individual in Klal Yisrael who was willing to put on a show, who was willing to have himself disgraced more so than Dovid HaMelech. Which Jew in the history of Klal Yisrael had more terrible things said about him? There was a person who, there was a rabbi who lectured about how Dovid HaMelech was also Lovoi Bekohol. Doeg HaDoimi came up with proofs from the Gemara to show how Dovid HaMelech couldn't be a Jew, couldn't be in Klal Yisrael. You couldn't give him an aliyah to the Torah. We find that when it came to bringing the Sefer Torah, which had been taken captive, the Oroin, returning it to Yerushalayim, Dovid HaMelech went and took off his jacket and opened his shirt and let loose. He gave an exhibition for Klal Yisrael as to what it means not to have any kovod, what it means not to have any degree of dignity or self-respect, that he was willing to strip himself completely, he was willing to put on a show for people where it would be just about impossible for a person to feel any respect towards him at that time. You picture when a person is acting like a clown, not just a clown, but the wildest exhibition of clown imaginable. That was Dovid HaMelech. The Zohar HaKadosh gives him a nickname, Bodcho de Malko, that he's the king's jester. He was Kaviyochel, the one who was, he was the comedian of Hashem, Kaviyochel. He was willing to put on such a show of foregoing his own kavod completely, to the extent where his own wife, Michal, who was a tzadekes in her own right, the Gemara shows that she was capable of locking horns with the rabbis of the Gemara. She was nobody's little kid. And she was a Bas Talmud Chochem. She was the daughter of Shaul HaMelech. And yet, it appeared to her as if he had gone too far, that he was crossing a certain line which was forbidden at the forbidden by the Torah. But it was her mistake. She didn't realize that this was his greatest show of respect for Hashem, that in his doing this, in his showing that he was willing to let go completely of any desire for personal kavod, any association with personal kavod, this was registered in history as one of the most outstanding shows of respect for Hashem imaginable. We'll come to that later in terms of a few outstanding statements that the Medrash makes to show how serious this is. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, if a Jew wants to be zeche to this type of kovod, this kvod alikim haster dovor, this kvod of Hashem, it's impossible to receive it unless you do tshuva. Now we're going to spend a few paragraphs getting back to this point, showing how tshuva leads to kavod. You're not going to see the answer immediately. We're not going to forget about it. You're going to see we're going to come back to it. Rabbeinu Zal is first going to explain now what tshuva is very clearly. And once we're going to understand Rabbeinu Zal's description of tshuva, he's going to come back and show how tshuva is the key to kavod. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'ikar ha-tshuva, what's the main method of doing tshuva? We've mentioned this in previous shiurim, but it's important to repeat. A soldier goes out to battle. He carries with him a knife, a gun, a grenade, boots, bulletproof vest, a whole list of armaments. But every soldier knows the different levels of priorities, that if he's in a certain emergency and he has a choice of only having one or two of these items with him, He knows which is the most important, which is least important, which he could do without, which he can't do without. When Rabbein Azal uses the word ikar, that ikar ha-tshuva, he's implying that this is not the only aspect of tshuva. Tshuva could have 50 different items related to it. There are 50 different aspects to doing tshuva. But right now we're going to discuss the most important one. The most important element of tshuva is that kisheyishma bizyonai yidoim v'yishtoik. That a person should bring themselves to a level where when they hear themselves being insulted, somebody insults you or embarrasses you, yidoim, you're quiet, v'yishtoik, and you're quiet. What is yidoim v'yishtoik? It means you keep your mouth closed. You don't respond verbally. You don't say anything insulting back to the other person. But that's half the job. That anybody could do. The second half is yishtoik, that even inside your heart, one person could be screaming inside, using every single curse word that they ever imagined, but not bringing it out of their mouth, but they're yelling inside their heart. Yidoim v'yishtoik means to be quiet in your mouth and quiet in your heart, to be able to elevate yourself to such a level where somebody could insult you and embarrass you, and you could tell that person, you think that's, you want to insult me, right? You don't even begin to know how to insult me. If you would know how low I really am, if you would know how low I think of myself, what you're saying is actually a compliment to me compared to what I think of myself, compared to how well I understand the greatness of Hashem, and how compared to Hashem we are all zero, really zero. You could write books, you could write an encyclopedia on me of insults, and you wouldn't have begun to describe me. Because if you say anything more than zero, you haven't really described me. If you say something bad about me, that's not zero. I'm zero. Zero is something you can't even speak about. It's beyond insult. This is what Rabbein Azal says. That's the Ikar HaTshuva. And we'll see soon that he's not kidding. He's very serious about this. Rabbein Azal explains now. Now, we said that the key to Kovod is Tshuva, and the main Tshuva is Yidoim V'yishtoik. Now Rabbein Azal explains. Ki les Kovod b'loi chof. The Zohar HaKadosh in one place discusses the mitzvah of sukkah and eruv and a few other items. And one of the laws of sukkah and these other items, these other mitzvahs, is that if you make it, or Chanukah, near Chanukah for that matter, is that if you make it above 20 amos, it's pasul. A sukkah that's more than 20 amos tall is pasul. A mavi, an eruv that's more than 20 amos tall, not acceptable. A ner Chanukah, if you position it more than 20 amos up, it's pasul. Why? The Zohar HaKadosh explains, according to the secrets of Kabbalah, that 20, the number 20 represents this keser, this light of keser. In fact, the Hebrew word esrim, Ayin Shin Reish Yud Mem, is Bigimatria Keser, Kof Tof Reish. It's Bigimatria 620 exactly, showing that the light of Keser, which is the 10th quality of Hashem, this represents a light that extends downward 10 levels, and it bounces back up 10 levels. So it's actually a light that fills 20 Madregos. It reaches down to the bottom and bounces all the way back up to the top. That's 20 madregos. That's this kovod of keser. The Zohar HaKadosh says you should know that that's why these mitzvahs, which represent a light of Hashem that we can touch, that we can experience, this is why the ceiling that's put on these mitzvahs is 20 amos. Because if you try to make a sukkah taller than 20 amos, or if you put your ner Chanukah above 20 amos, it's as if you're trying to place your mitzvah within the framework of keser, which is osur. Keser is something we can't look at, we can't think about, we can't touch. And the mitzvahs have to be below that. They have to be contained within a madrega below that. So Rabbein Azal is just quoting one piece, one short statement that the Zohar HaKadosh makes over there, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ki les kovod b'loi chof. The Hebrew word kovod begins with chof, with the letter chof. And there is a reason why. Because v'hakof hi keser. The Zohar HaKadosh says the letter chof, which is the number 20, represents Keser, the crown of Hashem. So Kavod, which means honor, begins with Keser, with the letter Chof. Bechinas Ekye, which corresponds to the name of Hashem, Ekye. That name of Hashem is the name that's associated with Hashem's quality of Keser. You'll note that the word Ekye is Bigimatria Chof, with the Koilel. Ekye is Bigimatria 21, which is Chof plus the Koilel, plus one for the item itself. Rabbi Nezal explains now, Bechinas Tshuva. This Keser, which is Ekye, is synonymous with Tshuva. Why is that? Why is Ekye synonymous with Tshuva? This is in fact the name of Hashem, through which Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he wanted to introduce himself to Bnei Yisrael when they were about to come out of Mitzrayim. Rabbi Nezal now is going to explain this name of Hashem. Ki ekye do ano zomen lemehevi. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what's the taich, what's the translation of this Hebrew word, ekye? It means, I will be. I am preparing myself to be. Hainu, Rabbi Nezal says, this means, koidem atshuva, before a Jew has done tshuva, Adayin ein loy havaya. It's as if that person doesn't exist yet. When a person has committed sins and they haven't done tshuva yet for their sins, it's as if that person doesn't really exist. Why? Ke'ilu adayin loy nishava bo'ilam. It's as if this person didn't yet come into the world. Ki toiv loy shaloy nivra mishanivra. Because the Gemara says in one place, what would be better for a person? Is a person better off being born? Or is a person being better off not having been born? So the Gemara says it's very simple. If a Jew does mitzvahs, then he's better off having been born. If a Jew does averos, then he's better off not having been born. So when a person is in a state where they have averos and they haven't corrected him yet, it's as if that person hasn't been born yet. He's in the same position or worse than if he wasn't even born yet. He didn't even begin to exist. And when a person comes to improve themselves and to purify themselves and to do tshuva, to repent, then the person brings himself to this level called ekyeh. He's going to do something. His tshuva is going to bring him into the world. It's going to elevate him to a level where there is a purpose to his being in the world. Hainu, ano zomin lemehevi. I am ready to exist, to begin to exist. Vizeh bechinas keser. And this concept of tshuva, which means where a person is first beginning to exist, this corresponds to the keser, to the crown of Hashem. Rabbi Nezal is going to show us how. Because this word keser, which means crown, also has another meaning in Torah. It also means to wait for somebody. Ki keser loshen hamtono, because the word keser also refers to waiting. Bechinas tshuva, and waiting is one of the most important aspects of tshuva. Why? Because Rabbi Nezal says, Kamay shomer chazal, as the Gemara says, Nyuma habo letaher misayin loy. Let's just look at this Gemara inside for a minute because it's very, very significant. The Gemara says, Omar Reish Lakish says, this is in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis on the bottom. Reish Lakish said, May dechsiv im laleitzim hu yolitz v'lanovim yitein chayn. This, that there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that if a person chooses to be a clown with Hashem, not to take Hashem seriously, then Hashem is prepared not to take that person seriously either, and obviously to punish that person. V'lanovim, and a person who chooses a righteous way of life, yitein chayn. Hashem supports that person. Hashem helps that person along. The Gemara says, "Bo letame poischen loy, bo letaher misayin oisoy." If a person wants to be irreligious, if a person wants to go against Hashem, Hashem opens a door for that person. You want to go? Go. How should you go? By yourself. Hashem just opens the door. He doesn't push you out. He creates an opening. The leaving, you have to leave by yourself. Habolat Tahir. Whereas if a person wants to come close to Hashem, Messiah Oisoi, Hashem helps the person. Hashem actually extends a hand to the person. Tona Defei Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe La'odom Shehoya Moicher Neft Va'afar Samoim. This could be compared to a storekeeper who's selling two items, kerosene and a beautiful perfume. Afar Samoim means like balsam, something that smells delicious. Bo Limdoid Neft. If a person comes in, a potential buyer comes in and he wants to buy a pint of kerosene, kerosene is something which has a very bad smell. And if you touch it with your hands, the smell gets onto your hands and it's very hard to wash it off and everything. So if a person comes in to buy neft, Oymar Loi, he's the storekeeper, says to him, Medoid atolatzmecha, here's a cup, fill it up, take as much as you want. When you finish, show it to me, I'll take a look how much it is, and I'll charge you for it. The storekeeper doesn't want to himself use his hands on it because it's smelly and he doesn't want to dirty himself. He doesn't want to get that bad smell on himself. Bo limdoid afar samoin. Whereas if a person comes to buy this perfume, this afar samoin, then the storekeeper, Oymar Loi, the storekeeper says to him, Hamtainli, wait a minute. Even if the storekeeper is involved with something else, he says, just hold, and the person comes into the store and says, no, you keep busy, I'll take by myself. He says, no, I don't want you to take by yourself. Wait for me. Wait till I finish what I'm doing now, because I want to give it to you myself. Why? Hamtainli at she'em doidimoch. Wait till I will measure it with you. Why? So that both you and I will get the beautiful smell of this perfume onto our hands. Anybody that handles it benefits from the smell. The storekeeper says, wait, and I'll give you. Now the question is, why is the Gemara assuming that the storekeeper is busy doing something? Why by the neft didn't he say wait? What's the wait bedafka by the tshuva? Rabbeinu Zal is going to say that that's a very, very big secret that the Gemara is sneaking in about the issue of tshuva bichlal. That this is one of the most important elements that goes into the success of a bal tshuva. Knowing to what extent they're required to wait to begin, and even once they've begun, in going from level to level, to what degree a person has to be capable of waiting until it's the right time to move up to the next level. Rabbeinu Zal says that keser is loshen hamtono. The word keser means to wait. Bechinas tshuva, which is a concept of tshuva. Kamo yishamru chazal, as the Gemara says, Nyumo habolatayar mesayin loy. That when a person comes to purify himself, Hashem helps him. And the Gemara says there, Moshe leechot sheboliknoi safar samoin. A person who comes to buy this balsam perfume, oimrim loy hamtein. The storekeeper says, wait, and I'll give you myself. Ze bechinas keser. This is the concept of keser. Kamo yishikosav, as the Pasuk says in Iyoiv, Katarli ze'er va'achvoch. The word katar means wait for me a little bit and I'll show you. Va'achvoch, and I'll show you. So we see that this same word keser, koftof resh, which means the crown, also means to wait. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Kitzel Likutei Moran that even though logically you would say that a bal tshuva has so much lost time to make up for. A person who didn't go to yeshiva in elementary school, and they didn't have religious parents, so they lost out on the 5, 10, or 50 years of advantage that somebody else had in growing up in a religious home where their father was a Talmud Chacham, and he learned with them every Shabbos, and they went to yeshiva, and they got all of that education. So it would sound very logical to say to a bal tshuva that the first thing you need to be a successful bal tshuva is a good set of sneakers, so that you can run real, real fast to make up for all of that lost time. Rav Nosson Zal says you should know that it's true, but also you need a set of walking shoes also, because part of the process of doing tshuva involves running, and part of the process involves walking very slowly and being prepared to come to a stop sign and wait until Hashem is ready for you to get to the next level. This is the way it is in coming to tshuva, that a person has to know that sometimes the satan will try to make the person go too fast to try to get the persons to have aspirations. I want to learn the whole Shas this year. When for that person's level, it's a ridiculous thing to attempt or even to think about. Why is the Satan putting these thoughts into the person's mind? Not to help him, but to destroy him. Because he knows that if this person will work methodically and carefully and only do as much as they're capable of doing, the person will be matzliach. And in the long run, he'll get the shas, no question. But rather, the sultan tries to speed things up in a way where the person trips and falls and breaks a leg or an eye or a head in the process. And many, many people end up falling out because they didn't know this secret of hamtein, of playing the waiting game with Hashem kavyochol. This is what Hashem himself says. You want to be a Baal Tshuva? I have one word for you. Hamtein. Wait. You're not willing to wait? Then you're not material for tshuva. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Avol koidem ha-tshuva. But before a person does tshuva, when a person has what to do tshuva for, and they haven't yet done tshuva, azai bechinas ekye bahastoras pone mimenu. Then this person has not yet seen ekye. Ekye is hidden from him. We said ekye represents the minute I flick the switch and I start doing tshuva, I enter this room called ekye. Ekye means I am beginning to exist. I am about to begin to exist. But before a person does tshuva, they have not yet gotten to see ekye. Ekye is hidden from them. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki adayin lo yehechen es atzmoy lemehevi bo'ilam. Because this person has not yet prepped himself to exist, to begin existing, based on what we said before about toiv lo yishaloi nivra mishanivra. Vahastoras pnei ekye gimatria dam. We know that in the writings of the Arizal, one of the forms of gimatria that's used is called hastoras ponim. Hastoras ponim means a system of gematria where we take a word, let's say we take the word ani, for example, and first we start with the letter aleph, and normally you would assume after the aleph, the next move should be to the nun, and after the nun, I should go to the yud. Instead of doing that, I start with aleph, and my second step, instead of going to nun, I go back. I go backwards to aleph again. First I do aleph, then I do aleph again and nun. Then the third time, I go back again to the beginning. Instead of moving forward, I go back to the beginning. The third time, I do aleph, nun, yud. That system of gematria is called hastoras ponim in the Kisvei Arizal. Hastoras ponim means instead of facing forward, you're facing backwards. I'm always looking to the back. Instead of moving forward, I keep jumping back to the beginning. So too, take a look. So Rabbeinu Zal says now that the hastoras penei ekye, this the hiddenness of ekye is bigimatria dam, blood, 44. How do we see this? Take a look at this small note on the side, this little paragraph. Pirish, ki achoire shem ekye hu bigimatria dam kemuva. The backwardsness of Hashem's name ekye is bigimatria 44, the word dam, as is written in the writings of the Arizal. Hainu, this means, kishekoisven Hashem ba'achorayim. When you write this name of Hashem, constantly going back to the beginning, as you see it here in the next paragraph on top of the second column, the Hainu, Aleph, then instead of going on to Hey, you go Aleph Hey, then instead of, after Aleph Hey, the next letter should be Yud. Instead of Yud, I go back to Aleph Hey Yud, and then I go back again to the beginning, Aleph Hey Yud K, each time going back to the beginning, Aleph plus Aleph Hey plus Aleph Hey Yud plus Aleph Hey Yud K is Bigimatria 44. Shechoizrim b'chol pam la'ocher. The person always returns backwards. He's always going backwards. Hu Bigimatria dam. The numerical value there is dam, blood. V'hu b'chinas hachzoras v'hastoras pnei ekye sho'il adam. This is what's mentioned in the writings of the Arizal as the hiddenness of the face. When we talk about hiding the face, it means the back. Looking at the back means where the face is hidden. This hastoras pnei ekye, which is bigimatria dam, you'll see in a minute what the importance of this is. Rabbeinu Zal says that before a person has done tshuva, then the ekye is bahastoras ponim imenu. Hainu shvichas domim ubizyonos. Before a person has completed tshuva, the person is in a state of spilling blood and embarrassment. The person is in a state of having their blood spilt and undergoing embarrassment. Al shem, as the pasuk says in Shmuel, uboizai yikalu. That those who insult Hashem, those who disgrace Hashem, yikalu, they themselves will be disgraced. So a person who does an avera, a sin, by which they show disrespect for Hashem, they disgrace Hashem, that person has to know that they themselves are going to be disgraced. What's disgrace? Embarrassment. What is embarrassment? Shvichas domim. When a person is insulted, it means their blood has been spilt. Generally, when a human being becomes embarrassed, the face turns white. A person turns white from embarrassment, which implies that the blood has been spilled inside. The blood recedes from the face. It jumps back in embarrassing, in embarrassment-like. Rabbi Nizal says, why is this? Ki adayin hadam shebecholo asmoli shebelev, because while before this person has succeeded in doing tshuva, the blood that's inside the heart, the left side of the heart, sheshom modor hayetzahara, that's the resting place of the Yetzirah inside a person, in the left side of the heart. K'mo shekosav, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, in Koheles, lev ksil l'smoilei, that a fool favors the left side of his heart, meaning a fool listens to his Yetzirah, which is in the left side of the heart. Before a person has done tshuva, adayin hu betoikev v'oiz, that blood is still boiling inside. It's still hot. It's powerful. The blood that represents the passion of the Yetzer Hara is still very strong inside. U'bishvil zeh, and because of that, bo'en olav bizyonos u'shvichas domim. The person brings down upon themselves insults and embarrassment and having their blood spilt. Meaning that a major part of the process of tshuva is in the sins that you committed, you insulted Hashem. In order to atone for it, you have to be willing to undergo personal insults. Having yourself insulted, because you insulted Hashem, your tikkun involves you accepting insult upon yourself and acknowledging thereby that Hashem didn't deserve insult. If anybody deserved insult, it was me for showing disrespect to Hashem. Kize bechinas hastoras v'achzoras pneyekye bigematria dam. This is the secret of what the Arizal reveals when he says that taking this name of Hashem, Ekye, and forming it in this reverse manner, going back to the beginning, it has a gematria of dam. It means that when a Jew has not yet been zoichet to see Ekye, meaning he hasn't been zoichet to see tshuva yet, he hasn't brought himself into tshuva, he is in a state of dam. He is in a state where he's deserving of embarrassment, of shame. And until the process of tshuva is completed successfully, the person must be willing to accept upon themselves this shame and embarrassment. V'tikin lazeh. And now the question is that all that's needed, that I should get this shower of embarrassment? The answer is that's not enough. The tikin, part one, is I have to find some good soul who's going to be willing to embarrass me and insult me. And then once I find that person and they do a real good job of it, then the tikkun is sheyahafoich dam ledoim, that I have to take this blood of mine that's being spilled, and I have to react to it with silence. Doim means silence. Sheyiyeh min hashemim cherposam ve'inem eshivim. I must elevate myself to the level of those people who hear themselves being insulted and embarrassed, and they don't respond at all. They don't respond verbally. And they don't even respond with any hate inside their heart. I don't hate the person because I know that this is to my advantage. The fact that I was embarrassed or insulted, it's kaporas avoinos. It's something that helps to cleanse a person from sins. And the person should not be particular or show any concern for their self-respect. And when a Jew is zeichet to fulfill this ikar hatshuva, this major element of tshuva, aoz hakodesh baruch hu mapiloi chalolim, then Hashem slaughters all of his enemies. Hashem kills all his enemies out. How do we know this? Kemoshikosav, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Doim Lashem v'hischoilaloi. Be silent for Hashem and be mechoilal and empty yourself for Hashem. And the Gemara darshins in Gittin, what is v'hischoilal? The Gemara says, v'hu yapil l'cho chalolim. If you'll be silent for Hashem, Hashem will slaughter for you. V'hischoilal, Hashem will make cholols. Hashem will make corpses for you. Who is he going to slaughter? Hainu v'libi cholol b'kirbi. He's going to slaughter your most important enemy, which is the Yetzer Hara. What's one of the nicknames of the Yetzer Hara? Cholol. We know that Dovid HaMelech said about himself, v'libi cholol b'kirbi. My heart has a corpse inside of it. Who is he referring to? The Yetzer Hara in his heart, which he had destroyed completely. The name of the Yetzer Hara, when he's dead, he's called cholol. Hainu al yidei ze nismait hadam shebecholol asmoli. Through a person accepting upon himself this bizyoinos, this shvichas domim, what happens is, as a result of taking on that blood, it lessens a different kind of blood. It evaporates the Yetzahara, which is represented by the blood in this left side of the heart, this bad blood inside the person. Veze bechinas zvichas Yetzahara. This is a concept that the Gemara discusses. The Gemara uses a term, shechting the Yetzer Hara. When you shecht something, what happens? You're spilling its blood, right? Shechting means slitting the neck and causing blood to flow. The Dam HaNefesh comes spilling out. Rabbein Azal says, Zebechina zvichas Yetzer Hara. So this concept of being silent for Hashem and accepting these bizyonos shvichas domim, that lessens another kind of blood. That destroys, that kills the Yetzer Hara. The term for killing the Yetzer Hara that's used in the Gemara or in Psukim, as we'll see in a minute, is zvichas ha-Yetzer Hara, shechting the Yetzer Hara. Rabbein Azal says, Vayideze zoiche lekovoid eloikai. And when a person shechts the Yetzer Hara, you know what the reward for it is? Kvoid Elokim. I'll prove it to you. Rabbein Azal says, Kemoi Shekosev, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Zoyveach Toido Yechabdonani. Zoyveach Toido Yechabdonani. V'dorshu Chazal, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Al Zvichas HaYetzahara. That this Pasuk refers to a Jew shechting his Yetzahara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gemel Amid Beis, Om Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi once said, Kol hazoveach es yitzroi. We're reading outside the Likutei Moran. Kol hazoveach es yitzroi, a person who shechts his Yetzahara. Umisvade olov. And he confesses about the sins that he did commit. That's a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva is one who slaughters his Yetzahara, which means at one point in time, he breaks the evil inclination. And regarding all the times that he hadn't broken his inclination, regarding all the averis that he did in the past, umisvada olav, he confesses for those things. Male olav hakosu ki'ilu kibdoi lahakadosh baruch hu b'shnei olamim. That person is given credit as if he showed respect to Hashem in olam hazeh and in olam haba. How do we know this? Dichsiv, there's a pasuk that says, zoveach toido yichab donini. A person who shechts a sacrifice for Hashem, he slaughters a korban for Hashem. It doesn't say yichabdeini, he will respect me. It says yichabdonani. There's two nuns there. The two nuns represent this double kovoid that he's giving to Hashem. Kvoid olam hazeh and kovoid olam haba. And because you're giving Hashem a double portion of kovoid, obviously you're zeicha to this double kavoy, to this keser, this kvoid elikai. The Rashi says on this, Zoveach es Yitzroi, la'achar shehisisoi lachdoi, after the Yitzhahara convinced this person and coerced this person to commit sins, hu zoivchoi v'horgoi, this person slaughters him, v'shov b'tshuva, and does tshuva, umisvada olav, and confesses, shnei nunin dorish l'shnei kibudim. The two nuns are used to refer to the double kavoy that this person gives Hashem. Now watch this. You think that's big. The Gemara continues to say, V'yom Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi also said, Bizman shebeis hamikdosh kayom. During the time that the Yidden had a beis hamikdosh, odo makriv oilo schar oilo biyodoi. Mincha schar mincha biyodoi. If a person went out and invested $1,000 in an ox and brought a korban oilo, or a korban mincha, another korban, he got credit for that korban, for bringing that korban. Avol mi shedatoi shefelo. But a Jew who is zeichet to be humble, to lower himself, to be insulted, to have a wave of insults thrown on him, and rather than stand up and respond, he bends over and lets the wave pass over him. Mala olav hakosuv kilu hikriv kol hakarbonos kulon. The person gets credit as if they brought every single type of korban in the whole Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, zifchei elikim ruach nishbora. It doesn't say zevach elikim, that a person gets credit for bringing a korban for a ruach nishbora, for breaking his ruach of gaiva, his spirit. It says zivchei elikim. He gets credit for bringing many korbanos. Veloy oid, not only does he get that kind of reward, elo she'ein tfilosoi nimeses, but such a person is guaranteed that their tefila will never be rejected by Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Lev nishbor v'nitke elokim loy sivze. A Jew who is zeche to have a broken heart, a Jew who is zeche to get a bath. What kind of bath? Not a bath of hot water, a bath of hot insults. And then rather than responding back, the person goes out and has his spoidedus, the person goes out and davens to Hashem, he uses that brokenness that he feels from the insults, instead of firing back at the one who insulted him, he comes, now that I'm feeling shattered, let me take this gift that I received, this shattered feeling, and let me speak to Hashem in that state, coming from a shattered position. That person is guaranteed that Elikim Loi Sivze, that Hashem will never reject such a tefillah. That kind of tefillah is considered extraordinary by Hashem. The tefillah coming from a person who's in that state. Rabbein Azal says, okay, so that's the end of this paragraph. So we see that shechting the Yetzer Hara is yechabdonani. The person is giving Hashem the maximum kavod possible. If you give Hashem the maximum kavod, we learned before, u'boizai kolu, that those who insult Hashem are embarrassed. What's the beginning of that pasuk? Ki mechabdai achabed, u'boizai kolu, the pasuk says there. Those who show respect for Hashem receive kavod. Those who insult Hashem receive insults. So if shechting your yetzahara, how? Through daitoi shvela, as the Gemara says, by humbling yourself, being insulted and embarrassed, which is a very humbling experience. That humbling yourself gives Hashem maximum kavod. It's as if you brought all the karbonos. Then automatically, giving Hashem maximum kavod means that you too will be zeichet to this maximum kavod. What is shechting your yetzahara? We said v'hischoil eloi. Yapil echo chalolim. How do you create this libi cholol bekirbi? Through doim l'Hashem. Through being silent because of Hashem. Why am I silent? Not because I think so low of myself personally, but being that there's a Hashem around, and I believe in Hashem, there's nothing you could say about me that describes me low enough compared to Hashem. Compared to Hashem, you want to call me an idiot? That's a compliment. Compared to Hashem, I'm so far less than an idiot. If there's a Hashem in the world, all of us are so far from being anything in comparison that there's no concept to feeling personally offended, personally insulted. And if a person takes that type of attitude, that's how a person is zeche to kvod elikim, and that person has achieved this laharbois bechvod hamokim. That person has really heightened the kvod of Hashem. This is just the beginning. Rabbein Azal slowly getting us into introducing us to what tshuva is about and what showing respect for Hashem is about. We have a lot more to go in showing how this applies to every single Jew on whatever level they're on. Baruch Hashem.